This is a CNA podcast.
Welcome to CNA Lifestyle's House Party for Two, Season 2, with me, May Sia, where celebrities get comfortable, let their hair down, and have a cup of tea in an intimate session that doesn't require spending hours on their hair, having someone do their makeup, or even putting pants on. This season is all about responsible social distancing, so we're settling in for cozy online chats in the comfort of our own individual houses. Pour yourself a drink and come join our little shindig. This week, I'm hanging out with Priscilla Chan, who talks about what it's been like going back to acting after a harrowing health ordeal, finding herself again, and emerging a stronger and better person. And as a bonus, she also shares some marriage and relationship advice. Hello, my darling. Welcome to House Party for Two, where the party's at your house and the party's also at my house.
Hi, May. Yeah, let our party begin. How have you been?
I'm good. It's so lovely to see you again. And you look so happy and cheery and well.
Yeah. I have been because since I recovered last year, so I'm just glad and just so happy to have fully recovered and having all my energy back and back at work, doing what I love, acting and currently hosting also, and also teaching acting classes. Mm. So yeah, I'm just going with the flow. Everything's good.
So I know that you were very ill for about 2 years, a long time. And then the last year has been you taking your time to recover and get back to full health, right?
Yeah. So in retrospect, I think it all started in late 2017. So the worst stage was 2018 in May. That's when my face was all oozy and raw. And yeah, because of my sudden random immune responses, and that led to so-called diagnosed by doctors as eczema and then made worse by tropical steroids usage. Because I have to suffer through the withdrawals, and how I healed myself, it's really using the holistic way. I found a suitable TCM. I found using food therapy, meaning that I eat right and I took care of my health. Having a natural regime of like setting the pace right all over again. Because I think when back then when we were acting so hectic, maybe just screw up our health somewhere or another. It took me like two and a half years to fully recover. And thank God, yes, I recovered, because there are still a lot of people outside suffering from this so-called sudden eczema or sudden immune havoc, and then made worse by steroids, tropical steroids or immunosuppressant usage. I understand the doctor's point of view, and I'm not saying that they are wrong because they have their set of beliefs, but from my personal experience, there is certain truth that there is withdrawals when you use steroids for a long time. And I have to give a disclaimer. All the steroids are given by doctors, and I have been a responsible patient, meaning that they told me to carry on using and wanted to give me stronger ones. So I'm saying I'm a very good patient. I did not abuse the steroids. So that was a very rude shock when I realized that I actually suffered tropical steroids withdrawals. And the way to heal, ironically, is to stop it. You have to let your system heal all over again at its own pace, using natural ways. And yeah, so it was hell of a journey, really. But I'm glad that I pulled through everything, and I learned so much more and about myself. Because basically, I totally lost myself. I don't know who I was when I don't even look like the way I am. Yeah. And it's like, all crumbled from within, because the mental torture every single day, that time seeing all the withdrawal symptoms coming up and emerging like a world map, it was really crazy. And really thank God that I have good friends and my family, my husband, my colleagues who gave me lots of support. And of course, I thank myself too. Yay. Because I had to keep reminding myself that everything will be okay one day, even though I don't know when. So that's why I always say it's a miracle that I actually recovered, because there are lots of people who are still suffering. Yeah, that's in a nutshell. Oh, I was going to start this on a serious note, but really that day while I was filming, I was so thankful when I feel all my energy and happiness back. So before I slept that night, I was like, as I was reflecting, I was like, oh my gosh, it's been a long way. I'm like, wow, just so thankful to have recovered and got all my energy back and my health back. Yeah.
When was it that you knew that it was behind you for good and that you had regained full health?
Actually, it's a gradual process. Why do I say that? At first, I wasn't so sure of saying, I'm fully recovered, blah, 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 because I don't want to give people the hope and the misperception that, you know, if there's any issues later on. But from what I've learned in life, it's just journey on. You know, just do what you think you can and just journey on. Just take courage. So I take one step at a time. I did a stage play last year, and at first I was worried that, can I do that? But I just took up the challenge. Since it's stage, people can't see me from close up, right? So I tried it, and I was more concerned about the emotional part, because when there is intense emotions, there could be some hive-like responses. So that was the first step after I finished the stage play. And I had a good rest the next morning when I woke up, and it's all in retrospect. I was like, there wasn't any reaction, even though I had like two major performances on stage with very intense emotions, and I was fine with no reactions on my face or anything. I was like, oh, that was a good first step. And then gradually, because during my healing, I actually cut off lots of my sudden food intolerance, like gluten, nuts, dairy, crustaceans. And looking back in retrospect, I gradually have no more food intolerance anymore. So I've been eating like what I used to eat. My dairy are back, my gluten are back.
Oh, crustaceans that's awesome.
A little bit, yeah. And my nuts, everything is okay already. So that's when I am more reaffirmed that it's all in retrospect. It wasn't like, I know once for sure. It's like, I tried something, and my sister did encourage me that you have to keep on trying, because you have to take note. For your case, it's not an allergy. You've never had it since you were young. So it's a food intolerance. And you have to make sure you have to try eating somewhere again, because if you totally stop it, your body can get confused. It would be like, oh, I'm going to reject this for good because I didn't take this for a long time.
True.
And I love my dairy, I love my gluten, I'm gonna stop.
I know, you love cake. We all love cake.
Yes, I love it. So I'm back. But the good thing that came out of it is what I went through, I learned to strike a balance, meaning that I'll make sure if I have been eating really, you know, without any control, I would like, maybe today I'll go a full gluten-free or dairy day just to clean it up, just for one day. Maybe I could be eating 1 month already of junk. Then my lesson would, like, you know, remind me that, hey, too much sugar, no, too much cakes, remember, eat more vegetables, you know, and stuff like that. So I balance it. I make sure that I all the vegetables and my fruits in my intake every day, despite my love for desserts.
What was it that you missed eating the most, and have you kind of binged on it now that you're well?
I think last year when I love cheesecake. So the very first time when I took up the courage to try cheesecake again, and I just ate it and put it into my mouth, that expression, I was like in heaven. And then heaven was like, Ellen was like, you know, in Chinese, in Kwa Chang, sure, yeah. Like, are you exaggerating, right? Like, you don't understand, okay? You don't understand when you miss your dairy products so much, and your cakes, especially my favorite cheesecake. Like, oh, heaven. I'm back in heaven.
Can you reenact that scene, please?
Huh? Now? But sure. I've been binging so much. Okay, let me try. I'm an actress.
cheesecake.
Yeah, something like that.
That's exactly how my cheesecake face looks too.
Really? But not when you didn't eat it for like 2 over years.
I know. I can't imagine. And you've shared before how tough it was. So now that you're finally back to work, right? How does it feel? And what was it like when you took that first step back onto set?
Okay. Actually, my very first project for my coming back, it was a really major role, being a post-traumatic stress disorder patient with depression. Yeah, that was a collaboration with SCDF.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically a 4-act special.
What was the name of that drama?
Chinese is called Nei Chan. It's on Channel 8, but I think timing plays a part because it was supposed to be telecast during Chinese New Year this year. So we filmed it last year, last November. And whoa, when I read the script, I was like telling the EP, Dr. Ping Daka, wow, this role is so exciting. It's like post-traumatic stress disorder with depression. And she even attempted to kill her son. So it's like ultra-list murder or something like that. But of course it didn't happen. But I had to go back to a very dark place just to reconnect certain emotions, and it was quite a challenge. But I told myself that no, as a professional actress, I shouldn't be fearful of those emotions again. So I took the plunge, and with my director's encouragement, and it's really their thankful for their faith in me that I just do it for them, and also for lots of people out there who may be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder in all forms, not only because there was a terrorist attack. Because that show was based on a terrorist attack in Singapore. And yeah, that led to depression. I must say, to date, I was really very pleased with my performances. Yeah, because when I watched it on television, yeah, I think that I did my best. I was like, oh, wow, I can cry like that now. Okay, great. That's improvement. So 2 years was worth it. Yeah.
Oh, so
because of suffering was worth it.
Do you mean before it was hard to cry on cue?
No, it's different. Because to be able to reenact the worlds of it's really a very dark and scary place. I did not go into depression back then, but I knew I was on the verge of depression. So I had to go. When I was researching for the character and everything, I had to push myself further in. So that kind of crying is different, meaning that if you don't really have it, you have to flow it so naturally that it just flows down in this. There's no acting element in it. That was, for the best acting is when there is no acting element in it, because it's so real and it's so raw. So that is what we professional actresses would like to accomplish. To us, it's like the trophy that we're aiming for, for our performances. So yeah, so I'm glad that I knew I got there when I was filming it. That when I watched my playbacks, and my director did also tell me that, thanks, Pris. Thanks for giving me your best and your all. I knew you went to a very dark place. So yeah. Yeah. So the good thing is also that I managed to find my own balance also, because I would, after what I went through, I knew I had to take good care, self-care for myself. So I knew when to snap out of it fast after the takes. Of course, it takes a while because that was intense, a week, 2 weeks of filming, being in that character. And it's really not a fun place to be in. Post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah. So that was my first show, actually. And then I was like quietly telling myself, can my next show be a comedy? Nothing got hurt my prayers. So I just finished Se Ling Sheng 20. That's with Joey Sui and Rebecca Lim. So we are besties in the show. And then we were, because we are supposed to be the lighthearted ones, in the corporate jungle story. So, yeah. So it was, I had fun doing that, of course, because it's great to work with Rebecca again after so long. Yeah.
So you're back to work full time?
Yes, yes, since last year.
Oh, but then with the lockdown and everything, it kind of threw a bit of a spanner into the works, right?
Yeah, during the circuit breaker. I mean, if you read my Instagram, I did share certain points about, oh, I know, I had a long break enough. But well, life is like that. I just make the best out of it. So it was a good catch up with my husband, Allenton, because he was so busy work all the time. And he was, if it wasn't for circuit breaker, he'd be flying around quite frequently. So that was the time he stuck at home with me. Yeah.
What did you guys do?
It was really a good time reconnecting all over again, because I had new awareness of, like, ever since, even though we were good friends to start with, we were buddies to start with, 6 years of friendship, and this year will be our 13th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Can't believe it's been so long.
So it's really through the daily communications that he's home with us. And my mother-in-law sometimes, yeah. And he's home with us and we cook together. We really talk. And he said, oh, I finally knew what you're doing at home, what your regime is like. I'm like, okay. Any complaints? And I'm just like, because it's like, because he left the media scene for around 10 years already. So his mindset is more and more, he's not so artist-like anymore.
What does that really mean? Really. Not so artist-like.
More businessman-like now. Because he's been in the business world for like 10 over years.
So he thinks about numbers and math and how much things cost.
I think it gets even more logical.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's not the extreme. But I'm just saying, in comparison, just gets more logical because you're facing a bigger jungle and competition from the global world and the global industries.
For artists, it's like more imaginative or more expressive.
Yes. And so we were discussed about stuff on the papers or unknowingly. It's really just being together in the same space for a long period of time. Circuit breaker was three. I forgot. How long was that?
2 months?
2 months, right? So yeah, it was a good 2 months.
Mm.
I felt like I knew him all over again. It's like you knew him since he was in the 20s, right? And his 30s, right? But now he's in the 40s. It's like, because we keep growing, but we didn't realize how much we've grown. So that circuit breaker was very good for our couple development. And he understands what I do at home, and what are my hobbies like. He really sees it, not just hear about it. And sometimes I get him involved. Or he would see me do flowers. Or he's like, hey, today I feel like painting. Let's just do some art therapy for fun. Then actually, Alan still got his artistic side.
Oh, does he paint with you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he does. And actually, he can even be more artistic than I am. You know? Sometimes he can come with really edgy stuff. Yeah, tips on how to be a good wife, huh? Okay. But because I really admire, I was thinking, it's edgy. I mean, it's cool. It's a different perspective. For me, it's all romantic and flowery and, you know, pastel colors, rainbow colors, you see. But for his, it could be like very manly kind. So, I mean, my main purpose is just to, like, since this is a time to reconnect with yourself, then just do whatever, no stress, and just chill. Yeah, that's the main thing. And cook together, yes, cooking together. That's one of the biggest things that we haven't done for a long time. So it was good.
So sweet.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's so important for couples to spend that time reconnecting and put in the work to maintain a relationship, especially when you've been together for so long, right?
Yeah, and with no children. Yeah. Because children is the bridge for most marriages. So I always tell Alan that, you know, all the more we have to make even more effort to make sure that our marriage goes on and keep the sparks alive.
I guess so, but also on the other hand, sometimes children can also push a couple apart because there's like so much more to worry about, and then all your focus goes on the kids, and then you spend less quality time as a couple. So yeah, there's something to be glad about whether you have kids or whether you don't have kids. I think, you know, like you always say, right? It's about being content in your situation and counting your blessings.
Yeah, I make the best out of it. Meaning that just do what you think you want to do within your control and within your resources. Yeah, I think it's very important. Taking courage to just do it. So have you been, May?
I've been excellent. I have been busy with work. I have been talking to you guys and getting to bond and share so much with you guys. It's been
lovely. And you still look so slim after eating so much.
Oh my goodness, I've eaten so much more during phase two. I've been making up for lost time, just like you. So I think we should go and get cheesecake together.
Oh yes. I'll bring it to a place one day, okay. Oh, one more thing that I must say. For the very first time, I exercised so much during circuit breaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, thanks to Ellen.
Oh.
So, because there were two, we'll just like turn on the television for those YouTube videos. So, you will try his guy version, then I'll do my girl's version, those hit 30 minutes and things like that. Oh. So, it was the very first time that I attempted doing the 30 minutes hit for continuously for weeks.
High intensity interval training.
Yeah.
30 minutes? That's long.
Yeah. But that's when I realized I'm so thankful that, yay, fully recovered because I can do 30 minutes and it's okay. Without feeling like breathless or like so lethargic, like you have the strength back in the past. So that was another affirmation. And there was once I told him something. Hey, let's try this. I pick a girl one, you do the girl one with me. And now you pick the guy one, I'll do the guy one with you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I was like trying to like some jokes. The things that you're doing, some girly kind. You can stretch. And then for the guys one, oh, I can't catch up. I'm like,
why didn't you video it?
No, I didn't. Just but that was a good memory.
You guys are so cute. You've always been the sweetest couple ever since back where... I think you told me this story where he won your heart by bringing you food, right, on set.
Oh, I think it's the one that my mother-in-law cooked.
Oh, okay.
And then he brought it. So he drove to the location and it's dinner break. So I would like have dinner inside the car with him.
Oh.
So it's like a bento made by my mother-in-law. Yeah. That was many, many years ago.
Well, it's so sweet. I still remember you telling me that story.
Yeah.
I also remember that you guys were friends for the longest time and then he started liking you first and you're like, no, we should not ruin our friendship.
Yeah, it was a big risk to take because he was my best buddy. Sometimes you wonder like being friends could be more lasting than couples, because couples, you know, when you were dating, not talking about marriage, huh? So I was quite skeptical for a short while. Yeah, he managed to convince me that he's worth it. Give it a shot, yeah.
And look where we are now. The best relationships start out as friendships.
The foundation is very, really important.
Do you guys ever fight?
Of course we do.
Oh, okay.
Because we're just a normal couple, you know, where we have different views of things at times. And the good thing is we are not the kind of couple that would shout loudly that time. But we would feel the disagreement and we would ask each other in the face, like, is this something you're not happy about? And of course, the tone can get a little bit like sarcastic sometimes, like, but it's not the loud kind, but it's more the subdued. Of course, nobody likes quarreling, but the good thing is we would talk about it. And I would say, okay, please tell me what you think. And then I would tell you how I think. So that we can come to we understand each other. Because you cannot expect the person, your spouse, to agree with every single thing. It's really not possible because we have different family backgrounds, childhood. even though most, the good thing about us is like, yes, maybe 80%, 85% of us gel so well, the cultures and the values connects well, but sometimes life throws you little surprises. Like, oh, I didn't know that you think this way. I think it's cool. I think it's okay. But maybe he may not think it's okay. Or for example, he think that's okay, but I don't think it's okay. So that's when differences can come in. And but the good thing is we will talk about it. And we will then kiss and make up. We don't drag to the next day.
Mm.
I'll make sure of that because I feel that arguments shouldn't get past the next day. And of course, that will be at the very beginning of our marriage. We have our own place and I have issues with cleanliness. he's just not a very clean guy. But the thing is, after his soccer or you throw his socks in a little pail, right? And it's like for days. Then at first I don't want to talk about it, but after a while, you soaked it and then they'll be like, kind of get smoldy. and I would go like, oh, maybe something's happening in the kitchen. And it was like, oh, what's so serious? I see we're growing mushrooms in our little toilet in the kitchen because of your socks. So he got it and he would just laugh it off. So sometimes you would, even if there's any disagreement, we also try to make light out of it.
Oh,
if we can.
That's a secret.
One of the best way, I feel. And I think one of the other biggest challenge about couples in a marriage for a long period of time is because you know each other for so long, right? You're so accustomed to, it's like family, right? Unknowingly, sometimes if you're tired at work, you forget, you may forget that, oh, you're tired. So you may not sound so sweet all the time, or you not sound so caring all the time. So that is an awareness and a reminder to ourselves, be it the husband or the wife. So I think, so with that little reminder, it could be like, are you very tired today? Then the person may like, oh yeah, a little bit. So you get your hint, something must be bothering him, then you talk about it. Then that's where you can kind of make things even better with a cup of coffee or a slice of cake. Always fun.
So sweet. So what's your next milestone as a couple? Have you thought about what's your next goal or, where you would like your future to head, which direction you'd like your future to go in?
Actually, you mean for my marriage with Alan?
For you as well as for you and Alan together.
You're talking like the life coach on the documentary I'm working on now.
Oh, really? Life coach is asking about your goals all your time.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, it's like serendipity. Yeah, I'm currently doing the Tuesday report.
Oh.
I'm semi-hosting it and also interview with people with life crisis. And also, Jie Ming Da Ge was one of it.
Mm.
So I think this is a very good question because I'm still working on the documentary. After interviewing and talking to so many people, and also because of what I've been through for the past, in my darkest days, that 2.5 years, I just would like to keep to the simplicity of life, meaning that, life, you don't know what may happen. But you will know what you can do today. Because of my own experience, I've also learned that there are so many people out there. And I think especially COVID-19 now, lots of people are unknowingly going through even more stress, anxiety, unknowingly even slipping into depression, or even going through new things about maybe searching for a new identity or what job suits me. Or actually, there's so many big changes that's going around that's faster than you can cope. You're not alone because really there are lots of people out there feeling the same way. because I've been through it when I was unwell and I was forced to rest. It's different. But COVID-19 is like you force everybody to rest. But I know different people have different struggles. I think one of the biggest thing is a lot of people, they have struggles, but they do not seek help. They do not share. And they try to burden themselves with so much more on their shoulders, thinking that I'll be fine. I'll try to find ways to handle it. But actually, they can't cope anymore. That is really very, that can hurt so much, you know, when I hear stories like that. Yeah. There are really lots of people. So I just want to put this forward that, you know, you're not alone. Please talk to your family and friends and be open to seek help in any ways. I think it's very important. And from my journey, I also realized that because I've always been very independent and knowing what I want, but when I was in my darkest days of identity loss, and I realized that I need to care so much for myself, that means adopt more self-care in more areas of my well-being, be it mental, physical, emotional. It's really a balance. Lots of people are not even aware of that. So, and I think from the papers and what our government is trying to do, people are more aware now. Yeah, they are more aware now, but it's, you know, it's like a learning curve. It takes a while for you to accept. I think the first thing is you really have to accept what you're going through now. And you have to be aware of yourself. To truly aware of yourself, understand yourself on a deeper level. Sometimes you have to go to different places, and you have to go to difficult places within you that you may not dare to face in the past. You have to kind of break through it. Then it's like, oh, wow, I didn't know that I'm good at this. I didn't know that I don't like this, but I've been doing this. I didn't know that I can say no to this, but I didn't say no, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's so many things. So those are new awareness about yourself that can be great takeaways after the COVID-19 on a personal note, on a personal level. But firstly, I just want to like give a big shout out there for any friends out there. No, just talk to your friends or family members that if they are willing to help you, please receive their help. And this is a quote that I've learned just to share here, okay? Many people think that, no, you have to be look chill, confident on the outside and undisturbed by lots of things. But actually, it takes even more courage to dare to be vulnerable. Yeah. That was my biggest takeaway from my own journey.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's true. Actually, modern living is a little scary these days because we could be undergoing so much stress and not even realize it, like in your situation. I think it's great that you've been such an inspiration to other people where they've heard your story and they can relate, and you also encourage them personally to be strong.
Yeah. That is so hard. I still receive lots of DMs on my Instagram. And actually, I have to thank you, May, for inviting me to open up my condition. Because, yeah, I mean, of course, yes, it did take some courage out of me to say it. But I'm just glad I did it because I just want people to know that please be careful with the medication that you're using and use some natural ways to heal. So when your article was out, so many people DM me on Instagram. I replied their DMs one by one because I know it is so hard. It's really so hard. I mean, that's the least I can do, really. I hope just a little encouragement, a little hope every single day can give them the courage to pull through another day, because the scariest part about tropical steroid withdrawal, some people is that whole body, no joke, whole body. For them to bathe, to go into the bathroom, is like they have to do so much mental preparation every single day. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, you will not be able to understand this totally. Yeah, only, yeah, I'm still praying every single day that everything will be okay for the people who have DME and the tropical steroids withdrawal warriors.
So all these people who DM'd you are going through the same thing that you did?
Most of them, because I have to, I'm grateful for Brianna Barnos, that's a lady in US who did this YouTube about TSW, because she's mocking about herself, because she realized that she lost all her hair and it's like a PSLE for whole body, and she was a beautiful dancer, performer, and she lost everything also, even her marriage. So thanks to her, she did that YouTube and I chanced on it. And that's when I realized why the symptoms that I was going through is exactly what she said. And that's when I realized, I think what I'm going through wasn't eczema. It could be the withdrawal effects of the medication. And I Googled more, then I realized, oh my God, I didn't know that this is happening. So thanks to your article that I'm able to just pass it forward. And lots of people who DM me, they kind of like knew when to pull a stop to the medication. Because normally doctors would say 2 weeks is the max. No more than 2 weeks. But there are lots of dermatologists out there or doctors who still carry on for more than 2 weeks. So, yeah. So for that, actually there are lots of people out there, they kind of knew that this is not the right way I want to heal. So that was very good awareness.
Mm. Mm. It was so important and so courageous of you to share your experience.
It was too painful because it was too painful. It was too mentally torturing also to go through. So I have to share it.
What was your source of strength that you think got you through it all?
I think my source of strength is really my husband and my family. Because I knew that they were so worried for me. All of us were very sick because they don't know what happened to my sister. Like, wow, and the state that I was in, it's really very scary, and no doctors can give you any answers except feeding you steroids or, you know, or the creams or the immunosuppressants. So nobody can tell an answer. That's the scariest part. So for my family and my best friends and my husband especially, and of course my religion. So it gave me faith that everything will be okay, I can pull through this. And I would tell myself this, I must do my best to stay strong and get well for my family and my loved ones. That was what got me through every single day. And even though I don't know when, and I also tell myself, I don't know when I will heal, but I'm healing day by day. I'm doing what I can now, meaning that I'm eating the nutritional food. I just carry on with a suitable TCM. No, I'm just doing what I can now, and I'm just doing my best to stay positive now, doing what I can do. And one more thing that I can share, which I've shared with so many people out there via my DMs or my Instagram, it's, you know, when does healing comes the fastest? The healing comes the fastest when you totally let go. That was my experience. The healing comes the fastest when you have put a stop to the deadline you told yourself that I must heal by when. Because for the first part of it, I keep telling myself I must heal by my third month, my sixth month, my ninth month. But I realize it's the fastest when I decide to just let everything go with no attachments. Like, I'm just going to live my life. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to live my life. Do what I can within my control, not think about it. Just focus on my love and my family members. If there's any work I can do with my limited energy back then, I'll just carry on doing it. Or any courses that I would like to attend and I think I can attend, I'll just go for it. So it's really all these little things, and I just kind of surrender to the flow of life. And then voila, I'm healed. So I think in conclusion, I felt that it's the subconscious stress that we place on ourselves. And we think we must heal by when to accomplish certain things or to be back on track. That kind of stress is not going to help. That was my story. And I shared with so many people. And I think for some other cases, it did help them too, and they did realize that also. But learning to let go and have faith that everything will be okay is the hardest part. Because we are humans and we tend to like rely so much on our logic thinking. So ultimately, you have to be assured with yourself that, you know, so what if it's a year late? that year, if you're upgrading yourself quietly, consistently, when your time comes, you will shine at your own time. Just so, most importantly, you must believe in yourself. Not be scared of competition.
Do you think you're a different person now?
Yes, I think I'm even more happier. I'm even more at ease. I'm even more confident. And I think I'm even more healthier. Yeah, and most importantly, I totally know what my priorities are. So I know when to get the noise out. It's like, because now that I'm back at work, of course, certain distractions and the noise will come back. Because when you're tired at work and everything, and with the demands of society all over again, because you're back in society, it can get a bit distracting and you get sucked in quite fast. The good thing is because of what I went through, I had deeper awareness. So it's like a click inside your mind that, hey, something don't feel right. Check, check, check. What is it? Sense it. Was it not enough sleep? Da, da, da. How can you neutralize it? So that awareness, it helped me a lot to find my balance all over again, even though I'm back at work. Because that was, I think last month, it was quite hectic. I was doing the Senling Shen Chun Qi with the documentary side by side. But I was so happy and I think it's so fulfilling because I get to work with good friends, meet new people and learn new things. Oh, so happy.
I'm sure everyone was super happy to see you back on set also.
Yeah. I'm very touched to see my colleagues. Like, we can't hug each other. We just hug each other through our eyes. And my directors also and my EPs. I remember the day I went back for my imaging, in the makeup unit, I was like so happy. So yes, I became a better person, even happier and knowing my directions in life or my priorities and what I think is more important. So I would not let myself sidetrack if there's any temptation that's pulling me back, making me feel a bit lousy. I'm just human, you know. I'm not perfect all the time. I still feel lots of emotions, you know, and of course, certain elements of insecurities, stuff like that is normal. But you know when to pull yourself back fast. It's not you don't get sucked in for the one whole day or 2 days. You don't. You just sense it faster. You'd be like, hey, what's that? Not worth my time. Move on. Let's have my favorite fruits or call a friend or tell my husband, go for a good dinner, blah, blah, blah. You know how to deal with it faster. Just let it go. Don't let it bother you. And so ultimately, it's really about you knowing yourself. So you become more confident with yourself. So you're more chill and more at ease. And I laugh even more at the set now.
I'm so happy to see you all happy and well and back to the priest Celia that we all know and love. It's just, it makes me feel so happy.
Oh, thanks, me. Remember the time when we did the interview?
Oh, yeah, virtual hug.
Yay!
Thank you so much for spending this time with me. This is House Party for Two. Priscilla Chan, what's your party trick?
My party trick is to imitate a cat.
Wow, do you go out? Do you go out and do that to stray cats so that they come over?
Oh, sometimes I do that to talk to them. No? Yeah. And they will look at you like, what are you like?
Yeah. Can you do other animals?
No, sorry. Only cat.
Only cats. Yeah. Are you a cat? Like, do you have a personality of a cat, you think?
I think so.
We will turn you into a meme.
Okay. Wearing black now. I want to be a white cat.
Oh, okay. You can go and change now. We'll wait for you.
Okay. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I love your impression. Thank you so much. It's been a lovely chat. And I'll see you really soon for cheesecake.
Yes. I'll WhatsApp you.
Bye now.
Bye.
House Party for Two is produced and presented by Mei Xia, with audio editing by Sweet Sound. Head to channelnewsasia.com/podcasts for more.